First, I wanted to thank everybody that came out last week. And you know, the Lord worked it out so well, because the sermon I have for you today is the sermon that I wrote like 4 weeks back. I've forgotten it, but it's really good. And so he made a way for me to be able to take that week, come out here each night. And so I want to thank everybody that came out, whether you came out for one time or two times, or whether it was for half an hour or a couple hours. And, you know, I did the quick math in my head. We had almost a 50% turnout when you count the number of people in the congregation and the number of people that came out. So I was very thrilled with that. And in fact, as Mark was suggesting when he called me, that maybe we should try and do that again sometime. And so I'll let you know when we might do that again, just to open up this place for prayer. I think it's so important. It's so important. And by the way, speaking of that, Mark was also, and thank you, by the way, for that encouraging phone call. Yeah, I appreciated that. Yeah, no problem. Thank you. Oh, no, you're the blessing, man. But as Mark said, you know, a while back he mentioned, you know, that if anyone wants prayer, you know, we have our leadership team here. And so Mark and Millie and Kevin and Diane and myself, if you want someone even to come out to your house for some prayer, we would be more than happy to do that. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to be in New York City, Lord willing, Thursday through Saturday. So I would appreciate any prayers for, you know, Journey Mercies on the traveling. And my good friend Dave Rector is going to be here, Lord willing, on Sunday. And so, Dave, you might remember, he was here like about a year ago, former police officer, now a licensed biblical counselor and marriage officiant, and he's really looking forward to come and share the word with you folks. So I know you'll make him welcome, and you'll love him. He's a great guy. All right, this morning, we're drawing back to our theme, When Jesus Draws Near. And this time, when Jesus draws near, he listens. And specifically, he listens to our prayers. Just such a prayer emphasis this week. And I got to confess right off the bat, and I hope they're out there. Are the Snyders on Zoom this morning? Good. Okay, so we'll say hi to Evan and Ann, because you know what? I borrowed a lot of the thoughts from this morning from an Our Daily Bread devotional. I was chatting with Evan and Ann a couple weeks back. They were mentioned how blessed they were by this. And then as we were chatting about it, we all thought this would make a great sermon. We're about to find out. Now, this is not plagiarism. In my line of work, we call this research. And besides, if I did just an Our Daily Bread devotional for a sermon, you'd be out of here in about 4 minutes. Oh, I shouldn't have told you that. Anyway, so I'm just taking some ideas from it. I will add to this. But the basis of this morning's message, it comes from the devotional that the Snyders read a couple of weeks back. It's written by Allison Keita. And Allison has been an editor for Our Daily Bread Ministries for over a decade and has more than 35 years of editing experience. She's loved writing ever since she was a child. She's actually following in her mother's footsteps. Her mom used to write devotional articles as well. Now, Allison's topic that week was on prayer. And she called this one, God is Listening. And I want to start with a few verses from James. So we're going to go to James chapter 5 in a moment, verses 13 through 16. And we'll begin at verse 13 in just a bit. You know, it's hard to believe that it is soon going to be 3 summers since we went through our own series on the book of James, right here at Generations Church. Some of you might remember some of our outdoor services. We went through this book. And I found it quite humorous. I was looking back at a couple of those sermons from July and August of 2021, and it wasn't from an outdoor service. In fact, we may have even still been on Zoom back at that time 3 years ago. But I saw a notation I had made. I was referring back to that week's outdoor prayer meeting on the previous Wednesday night. I remembered Mark saying it was a record crowd. Do you remember? You said it was a record crowd. And even though it was near the end of July, that was the night that somebody lent Evan Snyder their coat, or maybe it was their sweater. Was that you, Maureen, or was it Nelma? Do you remember? Yeah, you were there. It was a cold night. None of us were properly dressed for the occasion. Well, it was that time of year, you know, when during the day it's nice and warm, but at night it can get really cold when that sun was setting. It was pretty pretty out there on the end of the farmer's field over here. We all ended up shivering, Evan especially, because he was just wearing a t-shirt. And I recall that the next outdoor prayer meeting we had on a Wednesday night, Evan showed up wearing his big floppy fur hat. So, funny what you remember, eh? All right, James chapter 5, starting at verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, I have to admit, I cringe a little bit whenever I read that sentence there at the end of verse 16. It's the righteous person's prayers that are powerful and effective. And I think, uh-oh. But I remind myself, my righteousness is found in Christ. God knows fully well who I am without him. As it says in that, okay, the final verse of the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, that, by the way, is an amazing chapter. Sometime when you get to read it, just 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And this is after the Apostle Paul has said that God is faithful. He has called us into fellowship with his Son. He has gifted us. He will keep us faithful. After Paul says that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And after saying that God has even chosen the foolish things of the world, and I take great comfort in that. After he says that nobody can boast before him, we read these words. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 30 and 31. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And you know, the Corinthian church, as you probably know, had a lot of faults, but even they could be called holy. Even they could be referred to as saints. Now, that's not to tell you that you shouldn't be growing in holiness and in your faith. I mean, keep seeking first his kingdom. But my righteousness, my holiness, my redemption, your righteousness, your holiness, your redemption, it's ours in Christ Jesus. Amen? In Christ Jesus, we get all of that from him. So no matter who you are, and, you know, even if you're struggling in your current walk with the Lord right now, you can boldly approach the throne of grace to find mercy and help in your time of need. When Jesus draws near And when we open our mouths and hearts in prayer, he listens. Now, Allison Keita points out to us that the words prayer or pray, they occur five times in just these verses that we read from this morning. If you go down a couple of verses where James is talking about Elijah, who, as it says, even though he was one of the greatest and most powerful prophet, never forget, he was just flesh and blood. He was just like us. Here, let's read it here. James 5, 17 and 18. Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. Don't worry, Mark, I won't be praying that. Don't worry, Jim, we'll be praying for rain. But when he prayed, it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So, from verses 13 right down to verse 18 of what we've been reading here, we have these words for prayer mentioned a total of 7 times. And they all look very similar to us in English, right? Pray, prayer, prayed. But they're derived from 3 different Greek words. This is what I got from Allison Keita. The word most often used in the New Testament in reference to prayer can be found here about 4 times, verses 13, 14, 17, and 18. Now, the word translated simply as pray or prayed. Now, the word in the Greek, as best as I can pronounce it, is the word prosyukomahi. And look, there it is, just in case anybody wants to try and write it down. Prosyukomahi. It means to pray to God. And it has the idea of supplication and even worship. In Matthew chapter 6, where we find the Lord's Prayer, Jesus used this word when he said, "And when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." He said, when you pray, don't keep on babbling like people who think God's going to hear them because they use many words. This is how you should pray. And then, of course, you know, he gave us the Lord's Prayer. This is how you should prosyukomahi. Now, in fact, I will come back to that most common word in just a moment because it's actually made up from the 2 other words that James is using here in reference to praying. Prosyukomahi actually starts with the noun UK. And let's see, there. Let's put that up on our screen. Some of you will look and think that I've misspelled the word euchre. Looks like euchre, doesn't it? Except it doesn't have the R. And that is UK. Actually, the Jewish people probably say UK, right? And as was shared in this devotional from Our Daily Bread, James uses it in verse 15. It's a short little word. It denotes a wish expressed as a petition to God. Now, at home, I have something. I bought it on sale. It's called Strong's Expanded Concordance, one of the best books I ever bought. And the word can also have with it the idea of an obligation or a vow. This prayer offered in faith when we're praying for someone who is sick. And when I saw that little additional meaning in my concordance, I thought to myself, you know, we need to be careful with this word UK. What do I mean? Well, when someone you love is in some kind of a desperate situation, or even when you are, isn't that when we can sometimes make some very large, grandiose promises, vows to God, right? Lord, if you heal this person, I'll dedicate my life to serving you. I'll quit smoking. I'll never think another bad thought again. You can fill in the blank. Now, be careful about the promises you make, the vows you declare, in order to try and coerce God into giving you the answer you want. He will not allow you or anyone else to twist his arm. Is that a fair statement to make? But we know, we've all seen it, God does answer. God does hear the prayers of his children. In fact, as James says, we're encouraged to pray, big prayers, healing prayers sometimes. Now, the verb form of the word, eukomahi, appears in verse 16. That's that verse where it says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And can we show that word there on the screen, that third one? There it is. Yeah, that's pronounced deesis, deesis, a petition, prayer, request, or supplication. Comes from a noun that means to make known one's particular need. Now, sometimes we keep things really private to ourselves, and that's appropriate. But sometimes, and you know it, there are people in your life, and when you have a prayer need, you will often make sure, I got to tell this person about it. You got people in your life like that? Someone in your life, and you know, I got to get them to pray with me, pray for me. We ask them because they just seem like a person of prayer. I mean, God hears the feeblest of prayers. But you know, sometimes when you really want to make sure your words catch his attention, you will seek out that person we call a prayer warrior. Someone who's going to keep at it till the answer comes. And we've said this before, one of the places where even the great Apostle Paul, one of the greatest godly minds that ever walked on this planet, there are places in his writings where he can sound the most human, sound like somebody just like us. And I'm so glad for that. It comes in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And he's talking there, so that's what those words in the same way are talking about. But the part I wanted to look at comes right after that. It says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. And it's like, what? Now, this is St. Paul. This is like the most famous person next to Jesus in the whole Bible. You don't know what to pray for? But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. I mentioned Allison Keita, that she was a former editor. She took what people wrote and helped make it sound a little better. That's what an editor does. Well, do you know the Holy Spirit edits our prayers as well? Somehow in wordless groans, expressions we don't have access to. And just like an earthly editor can help take a writer's thoughts and turn them into something a little more concise, something easier to read, the Spirit of God within us takes our prayers and he edits them. He cleans them up. He fixes them up. Even our faintest expressions, he makes them perfect for the ears of God to hear. And I have no idea what John meant when he talked about even bowls of prayers before the throne of God. Your prayers are going to reach the throne of grace because of the Holy Spirit. I got this line directly from Our Daily Bread. Allison said, prayers of various kinds find their way to the listening ear and caring heart of God. And it's the Spirit that makes that happen. The Spirit who makes that happen. Now remember, just as we read it there in Romans 8, Paul tells us the Spirit intercedes for God's people. And first of all, it occurred to me a number of years back that he doesn't sleep. So even when you're sound asleep, sawing some logs, the Spirit's still interceding for you. Isn't that amazing? He does it in accordance with the will of God. And that's the hardest thing for us sometimes. Because while we can, and while we're even encouraged to boldly approach the throne of grace, I remember some people I knew a number of years ago, and they were actually at a church that kind of went off the rails about this one. Ended up actually being in a bit of a cult. You know, it was kind of like, no, boldly approach the throne of grace. Just say the right words, and God has to answer. God's got to answer. God doesn't got to do anything. God is God. We have access to the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, but it's God who must always have the final say. And, you know, I was thinking of verse 13 where it says that when you pray for the sick, that person will be raised up. Sometimes a person receives the ultimate healing, right? Like Millie's friend Joan. She's going to be absolutely, totally healed in a very short time, isn't she? She's going to be in a place where there's no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow. Sometimes God heals us that way. You see, God sees things that we just don't. He has an eternal perspective. And we will not always understand why the answer sometimes will be no. Maybe it's something tragic. You know, why did God allow this to happen? All I can tell you, and by the way, if somebody ever says to you that they know exactly why, be careful with a person like that. One day you and I will know fully, even as we are fully known. But there are lots of questions in this world sometimes. That's why we have each other, right? Lots of questions sometimes. I've had God say no to me sometimes. It hurts, doesn't it? Someday. And sometimes that's the only day we're ever going to understand some of these things. But when we one day get God's perspective, when it's all someday shown to us, we'll see how everything fit according to his plan. But meantime, since we don't always get to know everything that's happening, keep on praying. One of the best stories I ever heard about the power of prayer comes from a testimony given by a Scottish doctor. A doctor by the name of W.P. McKay. Some of you will know the hymn, Revive Us Again. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. Well, Dr. McKay wrote that. But for maybe the majority of his life, Dr. McKay, in his own words, was not a Christian. He said his dear mother had been a godly, pious woman, quite often telling me of the Savior, and many times I'd been a witness to her wrestling in prayer for my soul's salvation, but nothing made a deep impact on me. The older I grew, the more wicked I became. Dr. McKay lived in the 1800s, and he told this story that one day a seriously injured laborer was brought into the hospital where he was serving. And says Dr. McKay, the case was hopeless. The man seemed to realize his condition, for he was fully conscious. He asked me how long he would last. I gave him my opinion in as cautious a manner as I could. Have you any relatives we should be notifying? I asked him. And he shook his head. No. The only wish he had was to see his landlady, because he owed her a small sum of money. He wanted to bid her farewell. And he also requested that his landlady bring him the book. Well, the doctor went to see this gentleman on regular visits, at least once a day. He said, what struck me most was the quiet, almost happy expression that was constantly on this man's face. He said that after the injured man died, some things about the deceased's affairs were to be attended to in my presence. The nurse asked me, what shall we do with this? And she held up a book. What kind of book is it? I asked. She said, oh, it's the poor man's Bible. The nurse said that as long as he was able to read it, he did so. And when he was unable to read it anymore, he kept it under his bed cover. I took the Bible, said Dr. McKay. I couldn't believe my own eyes. It was my own Bible. The Bible my mom gave me when I left my parents' home, and which later, when I was short of money, I sold for a paltry amount of money. My name was still in it, in my mother's hand. Said Dr. McKay, with a deep sense of shame, I looked upon that precious book. It had given comfort and refreshing to that poor, unfortunate man in his last hours. It had been a guide to him into eternal life, so that he had been enabled to die in peace and happiness. And this book, the last gift of my mother, I had sold for a ridiculous price. Well, you can imagine what happened next to Dr. William P. McKay. The regained possession of his Bible became the basis for his own conversion to Christ. And it was in 1863 when he wrote those words, "Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again." It's based on Psalm 85 and verse 6. I think I gave that one to you too, right? Psalm 85 and verse 6. Look what it says there. "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?" Isn't that a great prayer for us here at Generations Church? Psalm 85 and verse 6. "Will you not revive us again?" A mother prayed fervently for her son, and God heard her prayers. Now, she would have only found that out when she was reunited with her son Will in glory. She went to her grave not knowing about her son. Now, we don't always get our prayers answered the way we'd like. In fact, in the Our Daily Bread devotional, Allison Keita also says we can't use prayer as some kind of a magic wand. However, James assures us, the prayers of a righteous person, they are powerful and effective. In the case of Dr. McKay, only God could have arranged that. We don't know. All that gets set into motion when we begin to lift another person's name in prayer. We lift their name before the throne of grace. It may take years, but I fully believe this, that the moment you start praying for somebody, things start happening in the spiritual realms around us. Okay, I mentioned those different Greek words. You're never going to remember them, and I've forgotten them myself. But as I learned in my extra research for this, they all combine to form that one word for prayer, most common in our Bibles, the longer one, prosyokomehi, the one that actually includes all those meanings, those nuances of what it means to pray, presenting our requests, our supplications, our worship, even our wishes expressed as positions to God, petitions to God, the hopes, the dreams we have for ourselves, but especially for those we love. Those we are interceding for, right? You know, those people that maybe they don't pray, or they're just in too deep a darkness right now to pray for anything. You pray for them, right? The big impossible prayers, the ones we ask others to help us with. You do not need to buy another book on how to pray. You don't need my crummy little lesson in Greek. In fact, the great scholar, the Apostle Paul, put it in the simplest of terms for us. By the way, you know, the whole New Testament is written in what is known as Koine Greek, where we get the word koinonia. It means the common dialect, the simplest form of the language. I think God wants us to keep things simple. Maybe that's a simple thing to say, but I think God wants everybody to understand this. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 18, he said this, and I've given you the wrong one, haven't I? Oh, well, there we are. That's a good benediction. Do I have the part where it says pray in the Spirit? Maybe I don't. Okay. Galatians chapter 6 and some other verse. Here, I'll read it for you. I wrote it down. He said this. He just said pray. He said pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. If somebody wants to Google the exact location of it, please do, because I've obviously made a typing error. But he's basically saying, just do it. Keep on keeping on. As I said, you don't need to buy books on how to pray. You don't need lessons in Greek. Just pray. Pray to the Lord. And always for the Lord's people, all kinds of prayers and requests. You know, the other day, there was a young guy parking his car on our street, and he was going to join a work crew. We got a guy on our street that's like one of those tree surgeons or whatever, where he looks after trees, an arborist. He realized our tree was beyond help, so he just chopped it down. But anyway, so this young guy parked his car. We had a little brief chat, right, because I was out there too. We were just chatting, and then I finished my conversation as I often do. I just said to him, I said, well, carry on. And he looked at me, and he said, what is this carry on? I'm new to this country, and I'm trying to learn to get better at my English. And I thought, oh no, I'm the last person in the world to help you with that. But I said, hey, you know, it is an old English expression. I guess it's just my way of saying, hey, have a nice day. But also keep on. Keep on keeping on. Stay at it. And of course, he was still looking at me like I had two heads, right? But I have to wonder, you know, when he reached the end of the day and his work shift was over, I wonder if he said to anybody, well, carry on. I hope so. Anyway, as Hebrews 6 and verse 15 tells us, we don't have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. We have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When we commune with God through prayer, we'll find encouragement and peace and the assurance that the Spirit is at work. Does somebody in your life right now need salvation or healing or help? Lift your prayers to God in faith. He is listening. And by the way, I wanted to realize now that I was going to add something to Mark's suggestion that, you know, whether, you know, you get any of us to come to your house to pray for you. Listen, any time after any of these services, if you feel the need to come up and pray, we'll pray with you. Because prayer is just that important. So anytime you want to, don't be embarrassed to do that. God's listening. I always like the way Jim Cimbala said it. I'm just about done. He's often pointed this out. Some of you will remember when we read our Bible study there. I think it was Julie's house, wasn't it? The Jim Cimbala study we had. He pointed out the apostles never asked Jesus, teach us to preach. They knew something about his time with the Father was key to the miracles and everything else that was going on as Jesus walked on this earth. So they asked him, as it says in Luke 11 and verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. I'm hoping to get a chance to meet Jim Cimbala. Maybe I'll take a selfie. But I wonder, maybe for us this morning, can we stand and say the words he gave us? When they said, teach us to pray. I'm going to take you back to your Sunday school, I think. But here we go. Can we give it a try? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.